and sisters to testify for us. So the first person we ask is Jessica to come up, please.
Let's all bow our heads and pray in silence. Amen. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I testify. So last fall, I entered my third year of high school, junior year, which is otherwise dubbed as death year. Its nickname comes from the laundry list of things you have to do throughout the year to prepare for college. Although I admit this past year has been my most difficult year of high school, I don't think it was entirely because it's just a busy time for high schoolers. The truth is, I think I let the concept of a deathly year get to me. And I sought to work as hard as possible to stay afloat academically. Unfortunately, as hard as I tried to keep my spirituality high and God in my life during this crucial time, I always slipped away and ended up prioritizing school over God, which I now will always remember as a warning. But thanks to God's mercy, I have been able to slowly repair my relationship with Him and experience His unfailing love again. So prior to coming to RHTS, I hadn't been able to experience God because I was so far away from Him. So I had determined to establish a better relationship with Him through prayer as a goal for RHTS. So halfway through the first week, I felt like I wasn't making any progress and I began to feel discouraged. I wanted to feel reassured that God abided with me. But because I had a hard time focusing in prayer and praying for too long, I was never able to truly let God into my heart. However, during one lunch fasting prayer, I fully gave all my worries and frustrations to God by pouring my heart out to Him, and suddenly I felt comforted. And that prayer was probably one of the sweetest prayers I ever had, and I cried out of both sadness and joy. Sadness that I had neglected this amazing relationship my entire junior year, but joy that I had finally rediscovered how wonderful prayer is. When you have such a wonderful prayer, you feel so joyful and at peace, and I finally understood what the pastors meant when they described prayers that were just so good you didn't want a bell to ring and you didn't want to leave, because it just feels like such a natural conversation between you and your best friend. I thank God I was able to feel His presence in prayer as a prodigal son feels his father's embrace after being away for so long. So as we approach the end of RHTS and the beginning of a new school year, there are a few things I hope that we can all keep in mind that I have learned from my junior year. First, always count your blessings. Despite the challenges we face and the burdens we carry, God never fails to supply us with His mercy and compassion, which fail not and are new every morning, as Lamentations 3:22 and 23 states. Counting our blessings reminds us of God's constant goodness and unending love for us in our daily lives, and it also teaches us not to take everything for granted, but to enjoy the things that God has given to us. Second, no matter what happens, always put God first. Although easier said than done, if we sincerely strive to seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, God will provide and He will never let us down. And third, when life is bad, pray, and when life is good, pray. Prayer establishes communication with God and helps us anchor ourselves to Him who is unchanging. So in all circumstances, never forget to pray. And lastly, I'd like to share one of my favorite verses, which is also one of the promises of God that we learned about. So if we can all turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 31, which says, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?" So thank God for His continual guidance and great faithfulness, and may all the honor and glory be unto His holy name.
Thank God for Sister Jessica's testimony. And even though it's short, but we can learn a lot from it, right? And of course, the first thing that she learned that, you know, of course, if she's in high school, 11th grade, is the time that is really busy, really busy. So because of this, she neglected her relationship with God. And then she said she had to pay the price for it. But through that, she also learned that, you know, she must repair her relationship. And because of this, that's why when she came here to IHTS, and she aimed the goal, right, that to repair her relationship with God. So because of this, during one of her prayer, that she feels this kind of sweetness and that kind of joyfulness in her prayer. And this kind of experience, it will not go away anytime soon, right? It's a lifelong experience. So she concluded that, you know, always count, right, a blessing. And what was the second one? The second one? Always count a blessing. No, this one before. Put God first, right? Put God first. Okay. So put God first, right? Then always count your blessing, right? Then always praying, right? Always praying. So with these three things, really can truly guide our life and direct where we need to go to, you know, that's according to God's will. So we praise and thank God for Sister Jessica's testimony. And next, please.
Let's all bow our heads and pray in silence. Hallelujah, amen. In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, I testify. So during my trip to New Zealand in the winter, in the past winter, God showed me that He also works, not in the biggest things, but also in the tiniest things that would strengthen my faith and also my family's faith. We experienced many miracles from God, but I only remember two significant events during that trip. The first event was that on the plane to New Zealand, I put my jacket pouch in the pocket behind the plane, like in the seat. Like my jacket had a pouch where I could put my jacket inside, so like I can carry the pouch around. It's for convenient reasons. I left it in the seat behind the plane. I left it behind the seat in the plane. So I totally forgot about it. I just left the plane without it. And I suddenly remembered in the middle of our trip, but I didn't tell anyone since it wasn't a big deal. So I came back to California without my jacket pouch. And yeah, I didn't remember it until a few weeks later, my aunt told me that she found this navy blue pouch and asked me if it was mine. And it was. So she talked to me how it was strange how she found it. She said that she found the pouch at the very bottom of her backpack. She's taking everything out of her backpack after her trip, and she found it last. She even said that every day during our trip, she searched her backpack, and she took everything out and put in new things. And she didn't find that pouch until we returned home. So I knew it was God's doing, because it couldn't have ended up in my aunt's backpack without being found. Another time during my trip to New Zealand, we were driving to a cruise, a dock, to go on a cruise 5 hours away from where we stayed. And it was on the Sabbath day. So we were already late for a scheduled cruise, and we were afraid that the cruise ship would leave without us. And since it was a Sabbath day and there are no TJC churches around us, we decided to sing hymns and read the Bible in the car while my dad drove. And after singing many hymns, we just took a break to rest. And my brother, who was the person who was navigating, he didn't look at the GPS in time. So when we were supposed to turn left, we stayed straight instead. And so everyone was yelling at him, because we were already late. If the cruise left without us, then we would have driven 5 hours there and then another 5 hours back for no reason. And all that peace that we had from singing hymns and reading Bible just vanished. Even worse, we drove a long way just to find a spot to U-turn and drive back. But while we were all looking carefully for a spot to turn back, to the left of the car, we saw the most beautiful lake in the world. And all that peace was restored and everyone felt so refreshed. And so like the lake had a clear turquoise color to it, and it was like tiny waves at the shore, and it was a beautiful sunshine on the water, and the shore was filled with large rocks and many green plants, and there were tall trees and beautiful flowers. And conveniently, this lake had a parking lot, which we could turn back to go to the, back to the cruise. But it was so amazing that we had to stop and go down to take pictures and relax. And so I felt that God was blessing us because he kept the Sabbath day. And God made us miss that left turn purposely to show us this lake. So we spent 15 extra minutes at the lake just to marvel at it and take pictures. And so we went back into the car and continued to on the road and to the cruise. And we praised and thanked God for letting us see the lake. And we continued to sing hymns and read the Bible. We also arrived at the dock on time, thank God, because he cleared the road for us so my dad could just speed through it and cut all the slower cars. And from these two experiences, I learned how God's love works in strange ways, and that sometimes trials will lead into blessings. And God helped me improve my faith in him to trust that he will work for the best. He also taught me that in the tiniest situations, God is there to help. And so if we could all flip to Romans 8:28. And Romans 8:28 says, "And you know that all things work together for good to those who love God, those who are called according to his purpose. So no matter what happens, as long as we love and serve God faithfully, God will continue to bless us and guide us daily. And may all the glory and honor be unto his holy name. Amen."
Thank God for Brother Brandon's testimony. So it's quite amazing, right, how his aunt found his jacket that he left on the airplane. And of course, there's probably no explanation why the jacket was in the bottom of his aunt's back. Because if he left on the airplane, it would have been taken away already. So, you know, really thank God that he'd be able to find it. And another one, he said that, you know, after, I mean, as they go on their way on a cruise, 5 hours drive, of course, then your older brother, younger brother? Older brother, you know, didn't look at the GPS carefully, right? And then they missed a turn, so the hymn singings and things like that, all now it's no longer there. Everybody have no peace now, right? Because everybody's yelling at your older brother, right? Then afterward, did they apologize to him after they found the lake? No. I thought I would have said sorry to him. Oh, sorry, thank you for making a mistake by, you know, on purpose, right? No. So, but the thing is, it's true, right? Because a lot of us, we do make mistakes, but always make the best out of it, right? It's not, you know, I mean, sometimes, you know, if my nephew, if he's by accident, he spilled milk or something on a table, right? And now I just on purpose spill my milk too, right? No, it's not a big deal, right? It's not a big deal. That thing has nothing to do with spirituality and things like that, right? Because mistakes will always happen in our lives, right? And quite often I always make my mistake in front of my wife, right? But thank God she always be able to forgive me, right? So it's true, next time, you know, whatever you do in that time, and it's Sabbath, try your best, right? To sing hymns and listen to sermons and things like that, because that's a time that God will, you know, grant you the kind of peace, grant you kind of joy. Why? Because Sabbath day is a day of separation, right? Sabbath day is a day they will be blessed. So always try your best. I mean, these ministers, when they relocate to a different area, I mean, even though their traveling route is very far from church, but on Sabbath, they would drive hours just to go to the church, right, for that Sabbath, then go back, right? That's quite dedication, right? And that kind of spirit you and I need to have. So praise and thank God for Brother Brennan's testimony. Next one, please.
Bow our heads and pray in silence. Amen. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I testify. If one day you realize you're missing something precious in your life, to what extent would you go to search for it? Before, my mother was never spiritually satisfied staying in the Baptist church that I grew up in, so she searched. She searched everywhere for a church that was filled with the abundance of the living God.
I was just dragged along on her church-hopping adventures. We went to many churches, and some of them even preached about the Holy Spirit. I was 9 years old. I remember sitting cross-legged on the carpet floor of a Forerunner church in Fremont, asking God if he could give me the Holy Spirit. I wasn't really sure what I was asking for, but they told me that the Holy Spirit was a gift from God, and when you receive this gift, you'll feel fire going through your body. All of this sounded really cool, so I was eager to pray. I clasped my hands together and clenched my eyes tightly. I was in prayer mode, and I was ready to receive the gift of fire. The fire never came, not even 5 years later. I thought that God completely skipped over me and gave everyone else this gift, even though I was also in line with them. I thought maybe my existence was so insignificant that God felt no need to answer my prayers. My heart felt uneasy. I thought I would never be able to receive God's gift. But thanks to his grace, my mother brought me to the True Jesus Church in Pacifica in the summer of 2011 when I was 14. When I stepped in, immediately I heard people praying in tongues in the chapel. I was again reminded of how I was without the Holy Spirit. I didn't have much time to dwell on this thought, though, because a sister pulled me over to her side and taught me how to pray. I did two things that I have never done before in prayer. I knelt down on my knees and I praised God out loud. Nothing happened, at least not outwardly. But I believe something within me changed because my determination to receive the Holy Spirit grew stronger despite continual failures and disappointment after each prayer session. A year later, on a Friday night service, I finally received the Holy Spirit. It didn't hit me all of a sudden in a wave of fire that I expected. Instead, it came to me slowly but surely, like a steady motor that kept running every time I tried to utter the word hallelujah. The Holy Spirit gently descended upon me and filled my entire being with a fluttering warmth. At that moment, I experienced true joy welling up inside of me. My heart felt like it expanded up to my throat. The feeling was completely foreign to me, but at the same time, it was also sweet and familiar, like a child reuniting with his father for the first time. Though I was too human to realize it before, the Lord actually made me wait so that he could give me the greatest grace of all. Imagine if I were still stuck at the Baptist church, where, ironically enough, does not teach the proper way or reason for baptism. Or if I was still in the Forerunner church, where the members preach about the Holy Spirit, but don't have the Holy Spirit that was promised in the Bible. God allowed me to receive his Spirit in the true church, where my salvation could be complete. Not complete as in everything is finished and done, because, you know, salvation is only the start of our spiritual journey. But complete as in receiving the promised Holy Spirit and proper baptism according to the Bible. God gave me his salvation fully, completely. Before I end, please turn to 2 Thessalonians 2:13. 2 Thessalonians 2:13. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. Oftentimes when we kneel to pray, some of us forget to appreciate God's love and grace for us, and we pray half-heartedly, or at least I do that. At times like these, let's think about the memory when God showed mercy to us, when he first gave us the Holy Spirit, the evidence of his love. All of us were once sinners alike in this world, and we're so undeserving of his grace, but he has chosen us to inherit all things good in his eternal kingdom. Let's all be thankful to God each day. It's the very least we can do. This concludes my testimony. May all the glory and praise be unto his holy name. Amen.
praise and thank God for Sister Tiffany's testimony. And actually, you know, when she started testimony, she's talking about her mother, right? Her mother who truly was seeking for the truth. And during the time that her mother was seeking for the truth, I was in Pacifica Church. And her mother was very diligent. And she was really amazing. Even though, you know, she seeked many different places, but when she came to our church, she was, you know, so joyful. Because every time she'd go to basic belief class, and we talk about God, and she wanted to invite us to her house. And quite often, she would invite us to go to her house and just pray with her. And this is, you know, and God realized, you know, how, I guess, you know, how much she wanted or desired to know the truth. And because of this, God guided him, you know, very smoothly. And of course, thank God, Sister Tiffany also received the Holy Spirit, and now the whole family is in Christ. So really, if we talk about the people outside of our church, if they have a very sincere heart, if they really want to find the truth, just like for me too, right? Because for me before, I was in my local church, Christian church before, I was in the Catholic church before, and also was in Greek Orthodox church. And I got baptized 3 times before this church, right, before this church. And because I was really seeking for the meaning of life and for the true God, then God brought me to True Jesus Church. So I hope that every one of you realize how precious it is for us to be in True Jesus Church. Because when we look at things but only with a physical eyesight, it seems like, how can our church be true? Right? Think about it, right? We see a lot of brothers and sisters in church, right? Maybe they're not so lovable. And sometimes it seems like every time we go out to evangelize, it seems there's no prevailing over the people. But we know that in a true church, Satan is working very hard. So one time a sister had a vision, and this vision that when she was praying, and she see a bunch of Satan right up on the roof, and they were all sleeping. And they're all sleeping. So she was wondering why this Satan is sleeping. Then she looked down into all the whole congregation, and the congregation just committing sin against God, right? Doing things they're not supposed to do this and that, right? And then she realized, oh, that's not the church. That's not the true church of God. Then God showed her another vision. And this vision that Satan, he was going crazy, tearing up the roof and trying to get into the church. And what she saw is a brother and sister praying. And a brother and sister showing so much love toward one another and doing God's will. So because of this, Satan was very unhappy. So that's why he tried to come in and destroy everything. So always keep this in mind, right? Because if you look at many other churches, if they don't do God's will, they already do Satan's will. And why would Satan want to attack them? For what? They're already under his control already. Why would he want to attack them? There's no reason. But for the true church of God, that's when you see the work of Satan. Before I moved to Dallas, I didn't even know I was going to be relocated to Dallas. During one of the spiritual convocations, I was sleeping. All of a sudden, Satan showed up, and he was in battle, you know, battle gear, right? He's in the armor, you know, ready to fight. And then he looked at me and said, "What are you doing here?" Say, "This is my territory," and he's ready to fight. Right? So every True Jesus Church is like this. You have to remember that Satan is here. Satan wanted to destroy you, wanted to destroy me. Why? Because we are the true church of God. So, and I hope that, you know, we do not lose this kind of faith, and we continue to fight on, right, for our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let's go to a Q&A. So the first question is, if Jesus was praying to God, was he praying to himself? If Jesus was praying to God, was he praying to himself? So how do you answer this question? What's that? Yes and no, right. Yes and no. In what circumstance is the yes that he prayed to himself? Yes. God, no. Before Jesus was born, right? Jesus is God. Afterward, Jesus is God. But when he prayed, right, when he prayed, during that time, that 33 years, he's praying to himself and he's praying to God. Do you understand? himself, meaning that he's a true and living God. You understand? And praying to the Father is when he incarnates into flesh. Okay? See, when you get the rectangular box thingy, well, you understand that under time and space, beyond time and space, everything else is very easy to understand. Why? Because beyond time and space, there's always one true God. No matter what, one true God. But of course, you know, for us, we're thinking, how can you pray to the Father and pray to himself, right? We cannot do that. But of course, God can do everything. Okay? Any question pertaining to that? Okay, let's go next one. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 7, it says, use not vain repetition as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their many words. Does that mean saying hallelujah, praise the Lord, over and over is in vain? What does hallelujah mean? Praise the Lord. So when you say praise the Lord, is that in vain? No, of course not. In vain is that God, please let me hit the lottery. In vain, please God, make me hit the mega box, right? Or give me some money, let me win at the casino, right? This is in vain, you understand? But to say hallelujah is not in vain, it's to glorify his name. So you understand? Okay? In vain, this means saying things, right? That is useless. That is useless. But to say hallelujah, because where else does that say that they repeat hallelujah in the Bible? Where? Where? Why do we repeat hallelujah? Keep saying hallelujah. Why we? Revelation, yes. Book of Revelation, the saints, right? The elders, they repeat hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord is never in vain, okay? Number three. How do I focus in prayer? What is an understandable and good advice to follow when we are praying? How can I focus my mind, right? How can I focus my mind, okay? So how can we really focus? The best way for me is to focus in your prayer is when you pray for somebody else, right? When you pray for somebody else. And that is very important, right? Okay. When you pray for somebody else. And when you pray for somebody else, and sometimes what? And sometimes Satan will come and try to distract you, and then you must cast it out. Right? You must cast it out. So you try to focus and pray for others, right? The people you know are brothers and sisters. And then if you continue to distract, then you must cast Satan out. What do you mean, cast Satan out? You say in your head, in the name of Jesus Christ, right? I cast you out. Because in the beginning, when I first came to Christ, actually, Satan came to bother me a lot, right? So every time he came to bother me, I would just cast it out in the name of Jesus. It might sleep and this and that, right? But then later on, I realized that the minute I want to say, in the name of Jesus Christ, I cast you out, he would close my mouth, right? And then what? So then how would I cast him out if he closed my mouth? What's that? Yes. I think in my head, right? To cast him out. And then he tried to distract that too, you understand? He's trying to mess me up, right? Then of course you cast it out. And after that, he came in a different form, right? One time I was sleeping, and my wife, she was studying, doing some work on her desk in her bed. And all of a sudden, I was just laying down, and then I just put my hand like this. Then my wife was on the bed, and she started eating my arm with big teeth, right? And then my wife looked at me from where she's sitting. She's like, I was struggling like this, and I was trying to cast it out, right? Because she's closing my mouth, right? It's playing my mind, trying to cast it out. Of course, Satan pretended to be my wife, right? Then that he was chewing my arm off. And my wife just see me struggling, but thank God on the end, I'd be able to cast it out. But it was very difficult. Why? Because that's like the first time I cannot open my mouth to say it, that even I try to think, it try to confuse me, right? So, yeah. Okay. So what I'm saying, if you want to be focused, don't think that only yourself distract, not only you are being distracted, but Satan also want to distract you. So that's why it's important. If you pray for others, right, and then you cast out Satan, then focus on the Word of God. Right, focus on the Word of God. Because the Word of God will cast Satan away also. Okay? Of course, I mean, it's also case by case, right? Whoever asks this question, I don't know what's going on in your mind, right? What's going on? Sometimes maybe you think about video games, right? Sometimes when you pray and you think about video games, how are you going to kill this one? How are you going to kill that one, right? What kind of moves you going to do? This and that, right? Right? The reason I know that, because when I start to play golf, when I pray, that comes to my head too, right? Which way I can hit the ball better, which way I can putt the ball better, isn't that, right? I get to cast it out too, you understand? I get to cast it out too. Okay? And after that, of course, the most important thing, just praise the Lord. The focus, praise the Lord, that's it. You don't need to ask God for anything, because he knows everything already, right? Just praise him, praise him, praise him. Then after that, you'll be okay. But of course, if you live a life and to commit sin, you don't read the Bible all day, you don't focus on God, then you want to pray. You cannot be focused. Do you understand what I'm saying? So the whole day, right, you're so busy in your schoolwork, you're busy playing video games, and this, that, and then you want to kneel down and pray. And all of a sudden, you're like, oh, you want to connect with God right away, right? No, the reception is not good for connection. Because you have all the junk between you and God, right? Garbage, right? All the garbage between you and God. So your connection is, you know, is lost. So that's why if we want to clean up all the garbage, we must meditate in the Word of God during the day, we must do everything cool in this world, this and that, right? Okay? Okay, next one. How are visions seen? Do people see them with their eyes closed? An image in their head pops up, or their eyes are open and they see the real thing? I see the real thing. So what do you think it is? How do people... Yeah, all above. Actually, all above. It depends, right? Because sometimes when I... one time, I saw Satan with my eyes closed, right? And then I ran out of the room with my eyes open, and I still see him, right? So when I kneel down and pray, and then I put my eyes closed, and I still see him, right? So sometimes what? It brings you to different... I guess different realm, a different dimension. So you could see them all different ways. Right? Some, of course, the scariest part of you, if you look around this room and God opened your eyes, you can see Satan, right? Around here, that would be scary, right? But he's here. Satan is here, you understand? I remember the last time I was in Irvine, not the last time, but when I was in Irvine for a seminar, I was sleeping in my sleeping bag and Satan pulled my legs out of my sleeping bag. Right, in Irvine Church. So don't think the church, the physical building itself, it has, you say, oh, the church, how can Satan is here? No. The church is inside your heart, right? And that's the place that you don't want him to be in. But the building itself is not a big deal. He's everywhere. As we talk, the angels are here, right? And Satan is here, right? For those who are sinning and stuff like that, Satan's like, oh, thank you, you're on my side. Right? And those of us who are focused and we want to do what is good stuff, and then the angels are also joyful, right? So it's the battle, right, between our flesh, because our flesh belongs to Satan, spirit belongs to God. So we always have that kind of fighting and stuff like that. Okay? Let's go to the next one. Is it still possible to pray with the Holy Spirit without starting the prayer with, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray? Yes, it is possible. Because quite often when you pray, you don't even need to say out loud the name of Jesus Christ, you pray. You can just say in your head, right? In the name of Jesus Christ, you pray, right? You do that, right? But when we pray, God knows, right? Because the Spirit pray for us, right? Pray for us. So when we pray in tongue, of course, God knows. It's the Spirit of God. Who are you going to pray to? God, right? Right? God's not going to be like, oh, who is he praying to, right? No, the Spirit's inside of us. So why do we say it out loud in the name of Jesus Christ we pray? Why? Why? What's that? Actually, most of the time it's for others who do not believe in God, right? Because some people pray to Allah, right? And that is their God, right? And some people pray to Buddhists, right? That is their God, right? And some people pray to Obama. That is their God. And some people pray to money, right? That is their God, right? Some people pray to video games, right? That is their God. You understand? But on the end, we say what? What's on the end of a prayer? Amen. What does amen mean? Let everything be done. Let everything be true, right? Thy will be done, right? So you think money be able to do that for you? You think Obama will be able to do that for you? You think Allah be able to do that for you? Buddhists do that for you? None of them, right? So that's why when you say amen, you must pray to God, you understand? You cannot say amen and pray to anybody else. Why? Because they cannot do anything. Right? They cannot do anything. Okay? Okay. Next one. Why do some people clap while praying with the Holy Spirit? Right? Remember in Pastor Liang class, right? Some people not only clap, they hop on their knees. I saw that one time a sister in New Jersey. She was praying and she was hopping with her knees like this. You try to do that. You're pretty strong, right? You try to do that. Yeah, you try. You try to hop with your knees. God. Can you imagine old mama doing that? But I'm talking about hop. That's not a hop. That's a skip. Hop. I'm talking about like this much off the ground. Of course, you know that she's filled with God's Spirit, right? Of course, sometimes people clap, right? And some people make, you know, really strange faces, right? Because I might lay hands all the time, right? So I can see all the faces, like all the brothers and sisters I make, right? Right? And so, of course, it depends on our personality too, right? The way we are, right? If you are lefty, when you pray, you do a lot of things with your left hands, right? You understand what I'm saying? So like if you're Korean, a lot of time you pray on your heels, right? And that's not because the you know, nothing has to do with the Holy Spirit. It's your choice what you want to do, right? But if the evil spirit's inside of you, you cannot do what you want to do. He has completely control over you. That's the difference, right? So people raise their hands up when they pray, some people smile, some people laughing, right? Really? If some people all of a sudden you lay hands on them, they're like they smile like this, right? So you mean, that means there's something going on in their head, they feel very joyful, right? And maybe sometimes they don't realize, but they're very joyful, right? Very joyful, right? And some people, when they pray, they sweat so much, right? Right? It's all different kind of personality. So clapping hand is one of them, right? So that's why quite often, why do you think you put your hand together when you pray? Why? Yeah, it's for focus, and also you don't hit your neighbor too, right? Right? Really? You don't hit your neighbor, right? When you're praying, you're going like this, right? You can hit somebody in the head, right? So that's not a good thing, right? Okay. Next one. If we pray so firmly that we sweat profusely during IHTS, can we take off our shirt to continue on with fervent prayer without hindrance? That's like a really weird question. What? Why would you want to take off your shirt? It's quite strange, right? Yeah, you should not. If you're at home by yourself, yeah, you can take off your shirt. You still continue to pray fervently, right? But over here, you're in public. Why would you take off your shirt, right? I hope this is not a question from a sister, that's for sure. Right? Yeah, so I think it's just a funny question. Funny brother. Yes, you cannot take off your shirt, even though you sweat very badly. Go get a towel. Or wipe yourself on the next round next to you. Okay, but you not take off your shirt. Okay. Can someone go to heaven if they are baptized and die without the Holy Spirit like TJC members? So can someone die without the Holy Spirit? They who were baptized already? Huh? Can someone die without the Holy Spirit after they're baptized the correct way already? Huh? Yes. It's a yes and no. Right? Because when you are baptized, you are promised to receive the Holy Spirit. But in the process of waiting, you sin against God. I'm talking about sin that's leading to death, right? Right? Sin leading to death. And then, of course, that's including compulsive lying too. Right? All liars will go to Hades. Compulsive lying, continued lying. You will lose your Holy Spirit. And even if you didn't get it yet, but the Holy Spirit is gone. So you can die without the Holy Spirit. But if you did not commit any kind of sin and you are baptized, it's a promise. You cannot die without the Holy Spirit. Okay? Everybody understand that? But make sure none of you guys, sister, you don't understand that? Oh, this death is for we both, right? Yeah, but I think we focus on spiritually speaking, right? Because why? Can they go to where? Right? Go to heaven. Someone go to heaven. So can someone go to heaven, right? Of course, if they're baptized and die physically, right? Then can they without the Holy Spirit? So the two answers that is yes and no. Yes, people can die without the Holy Spirit because in the process of waiting for the Holy Spirit, you sin against God. Then the Holy Spirit was not given to you. Even if you have the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit can just also leave you, right? That you die without the Holy Spirit. So, but if you don't sin against God and you never receive the Holy Spirit, you will receive the Holy Spirit. Okay? There's one brother, he's old. He's really old. And all these years he prayed for the Holy Spirit, but he never received the Holy Spirit. So during that time he was in the hospital dying, and he cannot talk, anything like that. So during one of the visitation, all of a sudden, he spoke in tongue. He started praying in the Spirit. Then he died. Yeah. So God wanted everybody to know that, look, this brother all these years never received the Holy Spirit. Now he received the Holy Spirit, he's ready to go back. Yeah. Okay? Okay, next one. In Matthew 5:21-30, it says that you commit murder and adultery just by thinking of it in the mind. Does that mean that everybody going to hell? How do you... Okay. Okay. So what's the answer? What's the answer? Let's read it again, right? Let's read it again. Really, next time when you guys read the Bible, make sure you read, like, the Bible. Read everything. Right? Chapter 5, verse 27 to verse 28. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you should not commit adultery. Verse 28. But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman or a man to lust for her or him has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Where do you commit adultery? In his heart, right? So that is the beginning, right? You understand? So what our Lord Jesus Christ is saying, that don't let this adultery start in your heart. Because when it starts here, then it will go outward, and you will commit adultery. Do you understand? Do you understand what I'm saying? So in other words, don't let lust, right, be inside your heart for any reason. Why? Because if you lust after someone inside your heart, sooner or later, right, this lust will grow, become mature, and it will kill you. But here, that's why our Lord Jesus Christ gives an example, verse 29. If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than your whole body to be cast into hell. Verse 30. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than your whole body to be cast into hell. So here, one time a brother, he read this verse, right? And he was watching a lot of pornographic. And the brother's not from the States, he's from somewhere else, right? So he was watching a lot of pornographic, a lot of dirty things. So he's watched too much of it, and then when all of a sudden he read this verse, then what did he do? He plucked out his eye. Yeah. And then, is that what you're supposed to do? Now, I think many of us will be blind already. You understand? Right? And then the Holy Spirit moved him, right, to put his eye back in. Yes, and he put back in, and God healed it, right? Yeah, that's pretty insane testimony, right? But it happened, right? So don't pluck out your eyes or cut off your arms, right? So when you do that, you go home, then you're going to blame on me, right? No, this is, you don't cut off your arms or don't pluck out your eyes, right? This means what? What does that mean? Don't look at it. Don't do it. Right? Because when you look at it, then what? Right? In other words, if you see, you know, Pastor Huang always testified. Pastor Huang, he's nearly blind, right? So when he see a beautiful sister, he's like this. You understand? He pluck out his eyes. He cannot see anymore. Everything is blurred. Everything is blurry, right? Do you understand? But I still can see. I gotta go like this. Right? So in other words, for us, when we see things that cause us to sin. This means stop looking at it. Stop looking at it. Why? Because if you look at it, where are you going to go? Where are you going to go? Right to your heart. That's why if you're a blind person, man, you won't sin as much. Really, there's nothing to see. Nothing to see. Nothing to imagine. You never seen anything before. How can you imagine it, right? Really, especially nowadays with all the media and things like that, when you're blind. Oh, nice. That's why when I go to Africa, oh, I feel so pure and holy, right? Because in Africa, all you see is, what, donkeys and this and that, right? You don't see anybody there. You walk in the jungle there for days. You don't see any human being. Even you see some women, but the women there, they, you know. I mean, I'm saying, they're hardworking, right? They're hardworking, and they don't, you know, do anything with themselves, right? Do you understand? So, you know, then you just feel like, wow, you don't look at anything bad. Really, you just... Most of the time, you just sit under the mango tree, playing the bongo, singing hymns, right? It's, you know, so nice. The minute I come back here, everything is bombarded right in my head, right? So this is America. Right? This is America. Okay? So what's that mean? So in other words, don't let it start here by looking at something, right? So no pornographic, no none of those things, right? This not only with things that's lustful, but also killing, right? Cutting people's head off, right? Video games, all that kind of stuff. Tomorrow I will spend 3 hours, right, for media. And you guys would be in shock, right? If you watch TV and a lot of TV, you play a lot of video games, this kind of stuff, it's really sickening, right? Because behind everything is Satan's work. Behind everything is Satan's work, okay? So, in this in mind, so in other words, don't let your eyes cause you to sin. That's what she is saying, okay? It's not that you commit adultery, but it's the beginning to commit it, right? In your heart already, okay? Next one. How do you get rid of your doubt? Read more Bible and pray. Really, doubting, right? Because we lack a faith. But faith come by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Where does that say? In Romans chapter plus 5:10. Yeah, okay, you guys should find it by it. Right? Romans 10:18, something like that, right? 17. Okay? Okay, next one. Why does TJC have an altar in the chapel? Why doesn't TJC have an altar in the chapel? Many churches in order and other denominations have an altar in front of the pulpit in the chapel. Why doesn't TJC have this? Well, I don't understand. What altar? I never see. You mean like a pulpit or an altar? Like an altar, you mean by statue? I've been to many churches, I never see an altar inside any chapels. Can anybody explain this? Can anybody explain this? An altar. Huh? Oh, we have that. We have that fancy table back there. We put holy hands on it. Yeah, a lot of times they just put statue and stuff on there, right? Yeah, it's not an altar. Actually, they just use it to hold things, right? It's not like an altar they worship to, like Asian, right? Asian, the altar is really altar. They worship that, right? Okay. But actually, for us, we don't have any of those things. But actually, for them, when they put those kind of stuff, it's also what? They're idols, right? They're idols. So we should not have any of those kind of stuff inside the church, right? I think one of the churches in Malaysia, our church, I'm talking about TJC. So what happened, I think someone was healed during a baptism. So from then on, they always take the water from baptism and put in a jar and put it in front so people can, you know, pray to it, do this to it, right? You think that's the right thing to do? Of course not, right? Of course, some other denomination, they believe that's holy water, right? One time a guy came to church, like, oh, can I buy some holy water from you? Like, holy water? We don't have no holy water here, right? But he came the next day and wanted to buy holy water. He's like, we don't have holy water here, right? But some people, you know, they believe, right? Because then that holy water become idol, right? In the Catholic Church, you have to pay. Sometimes they sell in a vial, right? You get on TV, go on TV, right? You want to buy it, right? You can buy it. Maybe 10, 20 bucks for each one. And maybe just all they put is spit in there, that's it. That's all their whole water. They don't care. But people are crazy buying all kinds of stuff, right? So yeah, for me, yeah, it's not that they put an altar, but they just use stuff and decorate it up there, okay? Why do we not have a cross in our chapel, but we can have a cross on the side? In many TJC churches, this is the case, right? First, what is the cross? What is the cross for? What is the cross, like the cross? What's that? I'm sorry? Okay, the crucify, okay. But the cross, why some churches, I know some of our churches have cross on the outside, why? Huh? Yeah, to let people know it's a church. But why don't we have it inside? Huh? Yeah, they know that we have a church, there's a church away. They don't need to, people who come to church here, they know it's a church away. You don't need one inside. So those who want inside, some church had the one that is inside, like San Jose Church. You remember when, maybe you two guys too young, when they bought the church, they had this huge cross in the back of the pulpit, right? I'm talking about like a 30-foot cross. Huge one. Of course, we don't want it there, so we had to take it out, right? But if you were to put that cross outside the building, on top of the roof, it's fine, right? To let people know, this is a church. But inside, you do not need. Why? Because people who have inside, they worship it, right? They pray to it, they bow down to it, and that's not the way it is. So our TJC members, the cross, actually, can you wear a cross necklace? Yeah, fine, but don't feel if you wear a cross necklace and then the vampire come and get you, you like, right, do that, right? So that become an idol. Don't pray to the cross. And a lot of Christians, if something can happen bad, they would kiss the cross, right? Help me, right? Help me. Yeah, that's what they do, right? But the cross is neutral, just a piece of jewelry, right? Piece of jewelry. And that's all it is. That's all it is. So, but for, if you worship it, if you think the cross will do something for you, then that's an idol. It could be with anything that you have, right? It can be anything that you have. So some of you guys, if you play sports, every time if you run track, right? For example, Daniel, you run track one day, right? And every time you wear red socks, you're like, man, I'm fast when I wear red socks. Then every time you wear red socks, is that a good thing? No, that's superstitious, right? That sock is your idol. You understand? It could be anything, right? Don't say, oh, this is my good luck shirt. I have to wear this shirt for, you know, when I do this, when I do that. No, that's an idol, you understand? So anything you can do, right? The same thing, sometimes you do a certain thing, you're like, oh, I'm bringing my friend, right? Maybe you guys are very close, right? You always bring Jack with you somewhere when you do things, right? And I know, Jake and Jack, right? And we're confused which one you want to be called, so I call you Jake Jack. Okay, so Jake, right? Okay, Jake. So you always bring him with you to do everything, right? Because he's like a good luck charm, right? Then what happened? He's your idol, you understand? You must cast him out. And, you know, leave him home, you understand? But of course, to go with one another, there's nothing wrong with that, right? So everything could be an idol, okay? And another one, okay, let's, this one. What did Jesus die on? Tree, 1 Peter 2:24, or cross, Matthew 27:40? Or was the cross shaped like a tree? Or was the tree in a cross shape? So what is it? What did Jesus Christ die on a tree or on a cross? Huh? Huh? Yes, he died on the tree to make into a cross, right? Or on a cross that make up by a tree, by off the tree, right? So you understand? So they just cut off tree, right? But I'm sure back then they don't have the technology like Home Depot, right? Make everything so smooth, right? They just cut the tree down, put it together, right, and make it into a cross. And that's why it still looks like a tree, but you know, the ones are being cut down, right? So, yes, he died on a tree and on a cross, because that tree made into a cross, and that cross made out of a tree. You understand? Yes, so that's why. The same thing, you know how Judas, how did he die? And then why in the book of Acts, chapter 1, says God split open, right? His intestine all flew out, right? Why? Huh? So which one did he die of? Did he ate too much, his stomach explode, or what? What? Yeah, that's it. Most likely, he probably hung himself and he fell or something, right? Then his stomach cashed open, right? Something like that. So there's no contradiction, you know what I'm saying? Right? There's no I'm sure that he doesn't, and then the Bible never says he's got gosh out, right? If you decompose, right? You decompose, your gut is still inside, you understand? You don't come out, you decompose. No, unless he hung himself, probably fell or something like that. We don't know, right? Maybe he hung himself on a hill or something like that, and the rope break or the branch break, then he just fell and just all over the place. Okay? Okay, next one. Okay. Okay, verse three. Are women allowed to be full-time pastors? There are some in Taiwan. Why are there many? Why aren't there many? Do we discriminate? First, you answer your own question already, right? Are women allowed to be full-time pastors? And then you're like, oh, there are some in Taiwan. So, yes, sisters are also allowed to be full-time ministers, right? But the reason why there are not too many, because being a pastor is very difficult, right? Very difficult, right? And you know, physically, a woman is not as strong as a man, right? You know any woman is stronger than a man? Pound by pound, I don't know it. Maybe, I don't know. Some of my brothers pretty weak. No, there's a sister from Hawaii, right? Her name is Mickey Oi, right? She's 6 feet tall. So when we are moving, like, and my niece is like 5'8", right? So when we're moving from San Jose to Dallas, they're two that are stronger than all the brothers. Because the brothers are pretty tiny, right? But pound for pound, there's no way any sister is stronger unless she's on steroids. Right? There's some women lift weight on steroids, right? And then they could be stronger. But that's why a lot of time, and also what? Can sister really go travel in Africa, in the jungle and stuff like that? Can they do that? Can a sister go to different churches, sleep on the floor, on the bed by themselves every night? You understand? So that's why it's not because we discriminate against sisters, but it's very difficult for sisters. But there's sister Korea, the Korean woman pastor too, right? Do you know her? Oh, you don't know? Yeah, I met her last time I went to Taiwan, right? She came, yeah, she went to Taiwan for training too, right? So of course, no, some women are very special, but overall, it's very difficult. Very difficult. Why? Because a lot of women, right, would you like to be married? Yes, would you like to be married? You don't know yet. Maybe you're a little too young. If you marry, what your husband want from you, right? To have children, right? But for guys, we don't need to have children. Because you need to have children, then can your husband really take care of your children and you leave? And just go be a minister? No. A lot of the women ministers, actually, they are single, right? They are single, okay? And it's very difficult, right? It's very difficult, okay? It's not like you cannot do it, but you can do it, but much more difficult, right? For example, during my TTP, right, I was the only student. I spent 3 years with different instructors, right? You think a sister can do that one-to-one with the minister every day? It's very strange, right? Very strange. You know, like instructors, right? After we take a shower, we just wear tank top and shorts, whatever, right? Can sister do that kind of stuff and sit down and talk to one another with a pajama and stuff on? No, right? There's so many things, actually. There's so many things, right? Okay. There's other things. I don't want to... Yeah, okay. There's other things. Okay, next one. Is it okay to name your son or change your name to Jesus? I know a brother in New York, his name is Jesus, right? But he changed his name to Joshua, something else, right? So, but if you want to change your name to Jesus, you really must be someone, like really special, right? In a sense that, because name, right? Because you want to be, the name, you want to be like your name, right? Or you want to be like your name. Of course, for me, I don't recommend to change your name to Jesus, right? But it's not a sin if you do, right? You understand? It's not a sin that you do. Because it's a name, right? But why would you want to name yourself Jesus? Right? Okay. Really? Hey, is that a Jake? Hi, Jesus. How are you? It's strange, right? It's just strange. Well, I don't think I can be able to call your name Jesus. You know? Even Jesus, it kind of sounds a little bit bad because it's not in English, right? Jesus. Okay. Yeah, everything is, you know, everything is beneficial, not everything is edified, right? Just like the name Jesus, right? Okay. Next one. How do I answer someone who claims that God and angels are Elohim, aliens, and extraterrestrial who visit Earth throughout history? Whoever asks you this question, you should send the men in black to check to make sure they are not from alien themselves. You understand? This is a very strange statement, right? So of course they say that, you know, God and angel, they what? They're just like alien, right? They just visit throughout history and stuff like that. And they use the book of Revelation and Old Testament description of God, Ezekiel, will, and things like that, right? What is that? What has that to do with anything? Right? Of course, a lot of times people just make up things, right? And if they think that Jesus is alien, but how many alien that people can write in the book and in history, right? And things like that, right? No, Jesus, right? He really exists. Right? You don't look at the Bible, just look at the history, right? During that time, he exists. Any alien exists beside what? There's no aliens exist. Have anyone write any story about alien that truly exists in history? Any alien? Maybe those who come to America, right? I was an alien too when I first came here, right? No, there's none, right? So actually, that statement is already wrong already, right? Because for sure that Jesus was a historical person that lived for 33 years and died. Everybody, no one can deny that in the whole world. No one can deny it, not even the Jew, right? The Jews also believe that Jesus exists, but he's only a what? A prophet, yes. Okay? And next one. Who is Chris Engel? Is this going to be Chris Kringle, the Santa Claus? No. Who is that one? Oh, I don't know who he is. Sorry. And I Googled him. He didn't really come out. Oh, he's on YouTube. Okay, I guess he's not that famous. Are his works done by with the power of Satan? Of course, sometimes it could be both. I don't know who he is, but people who does those kind of stuff even cut themselves, right? Some people do some demonic stuff, right? Cut themselves, this and that. You know, in China, doing like different festival, right? You ever see this on TV? Doing certain kind of festival, right? They put sword in their mouth, right? And they walk on like razor blade stairs and stuff like that, and they cut themselves everywhere, right? They have no pain. What do you think that is? Yeah, satanic. You understand? It's satanic. When you receive the power of Satan, you also become very strong. Become very strong. There's one time, I think one of the sisters, I think in Vancouver church, she was possessed by evil spirit. There's like 6-7 brothers trying to hold her. She just pushed every one of them away, right? But then a pastor, a skinny pastor, go over there, right? And just say, hallelujah, sit down. She sat down, right? So that's why we don't fight against like evil spirit with the flesh, right? Just like the brother in Hawaii. Actually, the brother in Hawaii, he's 5'10", and he's stout. I mean, he's big, right? He's strong. But when the guy who possesses the evil spirit jump on him, he knocked him down. And the brother didn't even know what hit him. You understand? Because he was so fast, right? Because he's possessed by evil spirit. But when he was talking with me, he was fine. You understand? He was fine. But of course, Satan knows our weaknesses, right? Even though he tried to get me upset, this and that too, right? But thank God I didn't do anything, right? I just pray in my heart, right? Just pray in my heart. It's fine. But Satan, when people like this guy, of course they use Satan's power. And don't think that, you know, these kind of people, they just fake it. No, a lot of them actually, they really worship Satan. Some of them even, you know, sacrifice animals and stuff like that to Satan, right? Okay, next one. I know you cannot commit fornication or sexual immorality, but what if you weren't willing? Rape, molestation, things like that, right? That's a good question, right? Because first, first, especially for sisters, right? When you go to college and stuff like that, right? You have to be wise, right? Don't put yourself in a certain kind of situation, right? Like my niece, she runs all the time. So when she went to college, I tell her, when you run, you cannot run in an alley area, right? You have to run in public area and let everybody see you, right? That is to prevent. And then that college, actually, they have a lot of, like, daytime guys try to rape the students, stuff like that, right? I didn't even know about that. That didn't even happen before. But I just tell her that. So when you run and stuff like that, don't run after dark. Right? Run in the broad daylight and run in a public area that is very, because a lot of time when you want a shortcut, right, even walk into classes. Right? Walk into classes. Sometimes like, oh, you don't want to walk an extra 5 minutes because you want to cut across some alley and stuff like that. Don't do that kind of stuff. Right? Don't do that kind of stuff. And then when you eat food in the cafeteria and things like that, don't leave your drinks or your food by itself on a table and go get more food. Why? Huh? Yes, people put drugs and stuff inside the food, especially drinks. Right? In Dallas, there's a mall in Dallas that this guy, actually he defiled many young girls already. What he does, he make believe that he's an agent from a modeling company. So he see beautiful girls, of course. He see beautiful girls, I'm sure that, you know, he go and flatter them. Oh, you know, I'm an agent from a mall. Then he give them a card, right? That business card on it has drugs, laced with drugs. So what happened, they just feel very dizzy. They want to throw up. They go to the bathroom. Then the bathroom that where they go is right next to the door. So the minute they go to the door, he just kidnap them, bring put in his truck. Right? Did you hear about this, Eileen? Yeah. It's very dangerous. Right? Nowadays, it's completely crazy. You understand? Crazy. So sister, you must be smart, right? Don't put yourself in a situation. For me, right, for me, because why, our body is a temple of God. God would not allow things like this to happen. If we truly, you know, pray to him and ask him to take care of us. But also, we must make wise decisions too, you understand? And another one, of course, molestation. Who most likely to molest, who you see the, you know, the perpetrator, right? That molests the people who, most of the time, who? Huh? Who? For example, if the little girl, right, get molested, who's the person who's doing it? Huh? They say grandparents? Who? Oh, God, no. Catholic priests, they abuse boys, not girls. Yeah, boys. Get that straight, all right? Get that straight. Now, usually they're relative, right? Close members like uncle and auntie and cousin, right? Why? Because those are the people who can get closest to them, right? And a lot of them, their parents trust them, you understand? So that's why we must use our wisdom to do, you know, to do what we can to protect ourselves. Like, for example, at nighttime, when you go to bed, right, do you lock your door? Yeah, you lock your door. If you don't lock your door, someone come in, it's like, oh, look, God allows this to happen. No, you must use your brain first, right? Lock your door, put on the alarm, whatever it is. Then anything else happen after that, God will take care of us. Right? The same thing when you walk on the street, on campus, and things like that. Make sure, right? Don't go at nighttime, right? And this and that, right? Because people nowadays are crazy. One year in Boston, I know if you've been to Boston, there's a place called Charles River. Charles River is very nice at nighttime. And there's my wife, co-worker's wife. She's 60-something years old. And the guy jumped out of the bushes and defiled her. 60-something years old. You understand? People are crazy. Right? So that's why you must be very careful, whatever you do, right? Then, of course, this question is that, of course, God would not consider that, you know, that you have committed adultery, right? If that is the case, right? It's not your own will, right? It's not only your own free will to do it. Okay? Next one. God created Adam and Eve, but the rest of the people come from them. Does it mean they commit sexual sin with their family members? Okay. So this is also a good question, right? So remember, before Adam and Eve commit sin, there was no what? There was no sin, right? There was no sin. And remember, during that time, people lived as long as 969 years old, right? So, for example, if Adam, I don't know, Adam, how many grandchildren would have? all the people are his grandchildren, his, right? Or his children. So from then on, of course, first for me, because there's no sin during that time, so everything is pure. Right? Everything is pure. And there's no law during that time, right? Why? Because God permitted to be okay back then. Because God wanted them to multiply and, you know, and take over the earth, right? And that's one reason. And second, because the genealogy is so far apart, then it's, you know, it doesn't affect anything, right? But of course, nowadays, that we shouldn't do that, right? We shouldn't do that. And even in the South, sometimes they marry, what, their cousin, right? The second or third cousin. Sometimes they marry their first cousin. And of course, sometimes they always comes, the kids come out something wrong, right? Something wrong with their kids and stuff like that, right? Because it's a curse, it's a sin. Okay? Okay. Next one. Why did God create Satan? I think, did this person come late to the class? This question? Did God create Satan? No. God did not create Satan. But did God create principality and power? Yes. And what happened to the principality and powers? Yes, they sinned because of their pride. Just like God did not create sinful Adam and Eve. God created Adam and Eve, that is what? Pure and righteous. But because of the deception, then they sinned against God. So Adam and Eve became sinful, but God did not create the sinful Adam and Eve. You guys understand that? Okay. Very simple, right? Okay. What time is class over? Is it now? I think now, right? Isn't making us use certain translation discrimination against the Word of God? Or like Bible, some... The reason why we said you shouldn't use the KJV, right? The New King James Version, why? Why? Because that is the closest to the original text. That's why, right? Because they done research many times. The Chinese Bible is junk. The translation is really bad, right? So at your age right now, try to change, right, to the New King James Version. Why? Because most of it is close to the original text. That's why we encourage you to do that. Not because we discriminate against God's word, no. It's just better written, right, to get from the original, right? I mean, if you, for example, if you were Van Gogh, right, you paint all this wonderful painting, you're not going to buy another painter that paint is completely different from the original, right? You buy someone who's closest, right? So that's why we encourage you, right, to read the Bible as closer to the original text. And that's why the New King James Version, okay? Or RSV, either one is fine, whatever you guys want to read. As long as say Holy Bible, right? Because some other one doesn't say Holy Bible, right? Yeah. Can a pastor lay hands on himself? Sure, I can lay a hand myself, right? I mean, yeah. Why would we want to lay hands on ourselves? We just ask God. When we lay hands on you, it's not the hands, you understand? We're asking God, right, to help you, right? To pray with you, right? To strengthen your prayer, right? So if that is the case, then I just ask God directly, God, help me. I don't need to go like this, oh, God, help me, right? Do that, right? Can pastors lay hands on one another? Yes, if you want to, but nobody does, right? Why? Because why we don't lay hands on one another? Why? What does the Bible say laying hands? Because the Bible say the greater, right? Those who are greater lay hands on the, you know, those who are less, right? Something like that, right? But, you know, but for us, that's why, you know, this. I mean, can you imagine I lay hands personally? It's just weird, right? Doesn't, right? But for us, yeah. I mean, even one time, one of the sisters, she was really, really sick. Then her daughter prayed for her daughter and husband, really, really prayed for her, really, really hard. Then the daughter pretty much got lifted up by the Holy Spirit, and she laid hands on her mother, and her mother was healed. And she's like 5, 6 years old, right? So God use one another, right, to help each other, okay? Is it okay for us to get tattoos, right, tattoos? Is it okay or not okay? No, why not? Okay, our body is the temple of God is true, right? And also in Leviticus 19:28, right? 19:28 says what? That you should not make any kind of cutting to your body or any kind of tattoos on your body. Why? Because actually our body is the temple of God. And being overweight is also not here, right? Really, if you don't take good care of yourself, you eat all the junk food and stuff like that, you're not taking care of God's body, right? You understand? You guys understand what I'm saying? So you must be in good shape. Of course, I'm not. Some people you have, you know, some people they cannot help it, right? Whatever you eat, you get fat right away, right? But if you just sit home and eat chocolate and ice cream, right, and have no self-control, eating pizza, all the junk food, this means actually you're not taking care of God's body. Understand? You understand? But some people, their metabolism is much lower, right? So even though you do a lot of exercise and stuff like that, right? Who's from Sacramento here? Yeah. You know Brother Rudy, right? You know Brother Rudy, right? He's a little chubby, right? Yeah, little. But he's a marathon runner, right? But he runs like 150 miles a week or something like that. He's crazy, but he's still chubby. And now he's a cook, yeah, I guess. I hardly ever see him eat. But he's chubby. But he runs the marathon. So this means what? He's very healthy, right? If you look at a person, if they're skinny, does that mean they're healthy? No. It doesn't mean you're healthy when you're skinny. And that's the problem, right? At least when you're heavy, you realize, oh, I'm not healthy, so let me go and exercise, right? When you're skinny, you deceive that you're healthy, but actually, your inside is not healthy. Or your inside is not healthy. Of all the states in America, who live, what state people live the longest? Huh? Huh? What state people live the longest? Hawaii. You know, Hawaii, they're all overweight too, right? They're fat. But they live 5-6 years more than people in the mainland. You know why? Huh? I'm sorry? Yeah, they're healthy on the inside. You know how why they're healthy on the inside? There's no stress. Yes, there's no stress. Stress will kill you. Stress causes cancer, all the kind of stuff, right? Stress is really bad for you. Right? When you think and stuff a lot and stuff like that, right? It's stress, right? Hawaiian people, you go meet them, really, I don't even know most of them what they do for a living. They never talk to me about their jobs, right? They don't care. One time a brother was looking for a job for one whole year, right? And then he was looking, then all of a sudden he went for an interview. That was on a Thursday, we went for an interview. Then me and him were supposed to go out and play golf on Monday, right? So he went and interviewed, and then the boss said, oh, we want to hire you. Can you start on Monday? And he said, oh, Monday? I'm playing golf with my pastor on Monday. Can I start Tuesday? When he told me that, like, are you crazy? You're looking for a job for a whole year. And his boss said, no, that's fine. Okay, you can start on Tuesday. Right? You know what I'm saying? They're very laid back and stuff. So they really don't have too much stress. That's why they live for a long time, okay? No stress for you guys. Okay. Okay. Why didn't God take away our sinful nature even after Adam and Eve sinned? First, did God create Adam and Eve in sin? No. Who wanted to bring sin into them? Yes, and then who else? Themselves. So in other words, God will never take your free will away. You understand? And sin is your free will, you want to sin, right? So right now, after 2 weeks of IHCS, you want to go home and watch 3 days of pornography. Do you think God's going to stop you? No. That is your free will, right? Then, you know, you run, and you just happen, you're depressed, you run across the gate into the street, and you kill yourself. Right? You think God's going to stop you? No. Right? Then Christopher, you're pretty fast, right? You're running here, racing, then you like feel so sad, you run against the wall and kill yourself. Right? You think God's going to stop you? No. That's our free will. So we want to bring sin, right? Remember, when God created Adam and Eve, there's no sin. But they want to bring sin inside themselves. God's not going to take it away. That's your free will. But he is taken away through Jesus Christ, right? There's a process. He cannot just go snap like that, your sin is forgiven. He can. But God is just, right? So that's why he sent our Lord Jesus Christ to die for the cross so our sin can be taken away. Okay? Okay, 8 is a long one. Yeah. I'm sure that all the council hope that you write your testimonies this long, right? Yeah. But, okay. Oh. Okay. A lot of people see religion as guidance. If religion was first created by men, then any religion would be okay. But the truth is that their founders die. The only founder that died and resurrected was Jesus Christ. This is what makes him different from all others' founder. He's the Savior that will bring us to a new hope and everlasting life. That not enough, even if we think we believe, is not enough because there are so many denominations of Christianity. True Jesus Church is different because he gave us the Holy Spirit as a comforter, guide, and counselor. He is also the abidance of Jesus himself. Only the church with the Holy Spirit is true. Not only this, but the believers of the true church need to practice what is taught in the Bible to be a true Christian. You need to fully practice what you learn, or you will be powerless and won't feel good God's abidance. Is this the right way to evangelize? And how to truly experience God through lifestyle? The three criteria of true Christian believes in Jesus Christ, who died and resurrected, has the being of the Holy Spirit, and needs to fully practice the teaching of the Bible. Oh, amen, okay? This is a good way to preach, right? Good way to preach. But try to bring the theology, right, to life, right? Remember, in the beginning was the Word, right? Then what happened to the Word? Became flesh. So don't always talk about the Word and not talk about life application, right? So quite often, yes, you and I understand that the Word, right? In the beginning was the Word, but what? It became flesh. Only when it became flesh, then what? We can handle, we can touch, we can experience, right? So if you leave it up there, nobody can experience, no one can touch, no one can see. So in our world, when we're evangelizing, right, use your own testimony, right? Use your own experience to testify. Why? Because it's not what you say to them they will believe. It's how the Spirit works inside of you. That's what's important, right? That's what's important. And sometimes you don't need to say much. People come to believe, right? Because of the Spirit of God. Okay? 9. Tell us some testimony, please. Yes, and we conclude right there. Because we have no more time, right? I tell you guys so many testimony already. And really, if someday I fall from the grace of God and I'm really not worthy to enter the kingdom of heaven, because my family and I, we experienced so much, you know, God's blessing. We experienced so much God's guidance and everything in our lives. Right? So let's take a break before our prayer session. And tomorrow we're going to have 3 classes for media. And that's pretty much it. Let's bow ahead and pray in silence. Amen.